With my, come on. You can get me after.
Yeah.
Okay.
And our
okay, we're ready?
Yes,
all ready. Let us call the regular board meeting for the Groveland Community Services District to order. If the date is February 11th. It's now 10:01, call it to order, starting with the Pledge of Allegiance.
To the Republic of which is Texas, one nation,
yeah, I'm gonna let him go ahead.
The roll call, Director Moore,
present.
Director Swan,
here.
Director Armstrong,
here.
Director Sykowski,
here.
We have a quorum. Alrighty, so where is our public statement?
Oh, did I not put it out there?
It's kind of basically the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Okay. If you want the sheet, I can grab one for you. Sorry.
There it is.
Coming down.
Not
Okay. This is just things we read every meeting because it applies every time. Members of the public are appreciated for taking the time to attend this meeting and provide comments on matters of district business. Public comments are subject to a 3-minute time limit, 10 minutes on an individual topic. Although no action can be taken on items not listed on the agenda, please know we are listening carefully to your comments. I
think that's okay. That's all right. Do we have anyone online? On the Zoom platform, we all have. For those of you who don't know, we also broadcast our meetings on the Zoom platform, and we do take public comment in that way. And just want to let everyone know that for the purpose of taking public comment, you can, if you're in the meeting, you just make public comments here at the meeting when the president calls for it. And if you're online, you would make public comment by either emailing gcsdboard@gcsd.org, and we will be watching for those. You can also use the Zoom platform and use the raise your hand function, and or put comments in the chat function on the Zoom platform, and we'll watch for those as well. And that's for each agenda item on the agenda today.
Move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay. Motion was made by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Swan. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed say nay. Motion carries. Okay. We move on to the staff reports, starting as usual with our fabulous fire department.
All right. So this month, was significantly slower than the previous years. Big Sweep mainly ran Beckoids with one vehicle accident. That was the only significant call. It was a vehicle rollover that we went to patient slides at scene early, and we basically just assisted with cleaning up in the hospital. As far as training goes, we have numerous employees that are a part of the JACC program. So they were attending classes to fill their JACC needs. Engineer Martinez went to an instructor class. Engineer Herrera went to the medical unit leader. And Engineer Dew went to a hazmat IC company officer 2B class. He also worked on hose evolutions, extrication, and ladders, and did a battalion-wide training on the Rescue 42s and Paratex, which are used to stabilize vehicles and vehicle rollovers and stuff like that. We worked with the E-House up at the Groveland Wildland Station, as well as our county partners here, and these Paratex that were purchased by UCSD. And on top of that, we also got our Bauer compressor annually serviced, which fills our SCBA bottles. And then, yeah, like I said, it's been significantly slower this month than it has been in the years past. We've had 29 calls compared to 53 calls the previous year and 77 the year before that. And The county assisted us with 16 of the calls in the district. We did not assist them with anything. So that's all I have.
Amazing how much garbage can be in one car.
Oh,
that's
quite a bit.
I can't believe that that person
You see the picture? It's amazing how fast they run.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
If I could comment on the Cal Fire side of things, I don't. Absolutely. Sorry, I'm late. But I don't think he covered it. But the as a result of the fires in LA, the governor signed an executive order that staffed up the Cal Fire stations a couple of months early. So we are anticipating going out of the Amador period or non-fire season in the end of March. And as a result of the fires down south and the anticipated weather and potential other weather effects, all of the stations in the state are staffed. The head crews have come back. And so we have 15 engines in the unit, tolling Calaveras, Cal Fire engines that wouldn't normally be staffed until the new term, late March to December. So they're all in place. The copter is still in the same status. We have it every other week. It rotates back and forth and it has coverage. And just about everything else is the same, but the engines are staffed with the seasonal firefighters. And there's a bill, I think, being pushed to make seasonal firefighters year-round. So it went through last year. It didn't go through last year. It brought up last year, but didn't make it. So we'll see how that changes. Other than that, it's gonna be, you know, we always say worst fire season over ever, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but we're getting weather up here. I don't know that the South will make up for the rain they didn't get over the last few months.
I hope they don't.
Yeah, they got a bunch coming. They got a bunch coming, so now they got to worry about mudslides. Other than that, any report?
Thank you, Chief.
That part of it.
Yeah,
the shaft.
Yeah. Having an extra engine up here for sure is good.
All right, Bob Asquith, our chief or our cert person, just left, so I think he just wanted to.
Pick up this document. I believe that it was this report was in the packet, right?
Yeah.
No, we didn't get it until Sunday.
Okay.
So I just put it in or online and then handed it out to everybody today.
Sweet. So CERT is planning for basic CERT training provided by SPEMA Produce in the first quarter. It required some backpack from Tolan County OES. That was all part of the application that we submitted to the Sonora Area Foundation to get the training held here locally. So that was a contribution that the county OES had toward the CERT program, which was listed on the grant application. So we hope that'll be successful. And they've got the a donation from First Light Resorts, which is Firefall, for the facility and for food for the trainers, and also for rooms for them for the two nights. And so that is, hopefully that'll be a successful application. I believe it was.
It was submitted on the 11th hour for
$15,000. Yeah, 15,000 for the cost of the instructor to travel and get here and provide the training. And that, again, that basic training program allows for people to qualify for CERT and will increase the number of volunteers that we'll have available for the CERT program, which is absolutely fantastic. They're partnering with the Red Cross for the smoke detector installation. I have the handy dandy smoke detector installation guide here in my hands. We've got to go over with staff internally here and start compiling names of people that might need them, so that we can roll those out when they get here. And that's supposed to be in March, on March 15th, so it's coming up really fast. They met with Sheriff Vasquez, partnering with the PML Safety Committee, which is an important thing, because now they're able to use the Lake Lodge for training. It gets a little bit crowded and hectic in here for them to do training. So it'll be able to spread out a little bit. And they've got, I think, distributed the schedule to everyone, so you just know when they're win their meeting, but they are they're really, really just really getting a lot done. They're very busy. So they've got speakers lined up that he's got listed here: Cal Fire Chair, Red Cross, OES, and Animal Control. And then the other thing he wanted me to highlight was the helicopter training that they've got coming up with traffic control and CAP, which is that's a big help as well. They're the, you know, they're a local group that can be really helpful. And if there's a, especially if there's a big emergency, I hate to even talk about those, but there's some big event, they'll be really helpful. So I appreciate all those good news. Amazing.
I just need to click on the record one more time. How fabulous is that fighter fall? Doing all that. Alrighty. And then we go operations report.
He's over there.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi, Norman. Hoping not to be seen.
Yes.
I'll leave him out of the camera view of your eye. The notable thing this month was AWS is still operating. It's going pretty well. We've been fortunate with no other incidents to really make that even worse for us. But a couple of us have just been time-consuming operations over there. It's a manual mode thing for the most part. We've got to be on site, so it does suck up a lot of our time. But we're making it through. We've got another month to go, and it's on schedule to be open and back and running the mountain tunnel on the 10th of March. So fingers crossed on that, since they delayed it on the from the start of the project this year. So I'm hoping it doesn't push it out, but they're saying that it's going to be ready to go on the 10th. So Headworks project, they came in, did some final walkthrough, and they had a punch list of items, and they knock those out, so that project should be wrapped up completely. There is still some bugs on the equipment and stuff, but we're working with the manufacturer in-house on that, not so much with the contractors who installed it. So they'll be out here in March to actually go over the drum that's kind of it's out of alignment, kind of mixing noise when it rotates, and so we'll get that dialed in when they come out and some more training on it, and then we should be good to go with that. The fill station, we have the final walkthrough on the 18th. We're dealing with a couple of little issues, but the final walkthrough, once it goes through, we should be ready to sign off on that project as well. Sewer project, we finally heard back for the final numbers. Well, we haven't got the numbers yet, but the contractor who is working with some subs got numbers back, and they're supposed to be getting those this week. So we'll be able to see exactly how much money it's going to cost to coat the lift stations and some additional work that we're trying to do there. So waiting for those numbers, and hopefully the whole what's remaining in that project will cover all that cost. The tank and pipeline project, which is off of Harper Road, Tank 5, where the pipeline is pretty much done. I say done, it's installed. There's some pressure testing to do. They have to put some hydrants in place, and they have to do the chlorination disinfection of that whole pipe. We're going to kind of wait until we get out of this AWS mode, because they're going to have to flush that pipe like 3 or 4 times. And so we can't really supply that much water as of right now. But we'll see where that goes. But they started backfilling the old tank site, because we have this in-ground tank. And they started demolishing that and started bringing in dirt and backfilled a lot of it before this last rainstorm came in. So that's exciting on that. So we're probably going to be in a standstill for a while until weather kind of slumps us out a little bit better. So let's see. AWS part of the project, which is all part of the grant funding for like the tank line, tank and pipeline project, AWS relocation, which is our alternative water system, and the well. So AWS, we're still waiting for plans. We haven't received those yet. The well portion of it, we have the plans. We're in the middle of reviewing them, and then get all our comments back to the engineers, and then we can move forward to actually going out to bid on that project. So that's installing the pump, the electrical, all the dosing part of the well and everything. So once that's done, we'll go to on bid. Firehouse. Finally, it's underway. They started Monday. And they got into that and they found some very interesting stuff. The contractor noted it. So there's going to be, there's some electrical work. Apparently there's some open splices in the wall, which are not supposed to be in the wall. They had sharp,
just like the girl.
They had sharp bite fittings on pipelines, which are not supposed to be inside walls either. And these guys were dealing with pipes going to their refrigerator by running them underneath counter ledges and not actually in the wall. So we're looking at actually changing all that. It's going to be a little bit more of a cost, but we're coming in under budget, so we should be fine. But we'll get it all done right.
The contractor's so, still alive?
Yeah. Well, you mean the one that built it?
Yes.
I don't know, actually. I want to say probably
you invite
not.
Him over for a...
So, yeah, they didn't have sharp bite fittings then.
No, I think when the new washer went into that area, I think somebody in house did some of that work, and I'm not going to mention any names, but somebody really, really did love those shark bites, and I'm pretty sure that that was in house thing on that one project when that new extractor did it. So, anyways, that's it. I know the park project is pretty much wrapped up, and there's the trail project and a few other stuff that we're working on, but that's the little things that are kind of in the fire right now. So.
That one well is pretty good, isn't it?
120 gallons a minute? Yeah. Yep. So that was estimated, and then that had water, I think it was, I don't remember the report now, but they hit water pretty early.
I think it was like, it's like 900 feet or something like that, and they hit water at 300 and something.
So,
there's a swing or something. Yeah. When we have to meet a different standard than, for example, when they have a commercial development or a residential development that's ready on groundwater, they have to do a 2-hour test
right.
to determine what the flow is, which is what we did initially.
Right.
It came out over 100 gallons a minute, but we have to have it state permitted. We have to do a 2-week test or 10 days?
10 days.
10 day test
oh, wow.
continuously in the summer.
Really?
Yeah. So we did, and the actual rated capacity is pretty low. It's like, I don't remember, it was like 10 gallons a minute or something like that, or 15. So whatever it was
more than that, actually. But
okay.
No,
it was high enough to where it's worthwhile to invest in, because the amount that we can pump out of it could supply big old flat with the storage that we're putting in and everything else. The goal of that project was to be able to isolate big old flat from Groveland,
right?
And feed them completely off of groundwater in the event of some type of an emergency, but at the same time have supplemental water back up.
Awesome.
So. Yeah, so it's a good well. It's higher in manganese, mm-hmm. so we have to blend.
Which everybody is out there, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool.
All right.
A lot of stuff.
Good stuff.
Move on to the administrative services report.
Okay. Good morning. All right. Since we kind of left it off with the park. Yesterday, I made final edits to the double-sided Berry Guard kiosk. So they are making those final edits on that right now, and we'll see the final version, and then that will go over to production, and we should be installing as soon as 2 weeks, hopefully. And then Pete and I were talking internally about having a grand opening for the park. We're looking at the month of May. Weather is predictable pretty much, and everybody's wanting to get out and about, so we look forward to putting that together. I just got a notification from Andy that the surplus items that you guys approved a couple months ago just went, the auction is live just moments ago, and that will be up for 2 weeks, so hopefully we can get some revenue on those items that were listed. Bob, I spoke with you a couple weeks ago, and I know you were expecting to see some water and sewer rates on this agenda, but I have an update. NBS is still working through the rate model, and they are going to have those ready for us by February 21st for internal staff review, and then that will give us some time to get it on to the March 11th agenda for a more of like a study session with the consultant and the board. And then on April 8th board meeting, we are hoping that those rates will get approved with that model. And then we'll go to a public hearing on June 10th with two public town hall meetings within that time frame. And then admin staff sat down together a couple weeks ago and we had an internal meeting about the process of Proposition 218 and also questions that we anticipate that we're going to get from the constituents regarding this. And we've put together a new spreadsheet for that. And we'll be providing that over to NBS, but they also, in their scope of work, have the public outreach portion of all of this. But because we've worked so closely with our customers, we wanted to, you know, kind of brainstorm together and provide some of that information over to the consultants. But I have a meeting today at 2 o'clock with their public outreach person. And so we're going to have our first kickoff meeting and how that is going to look. And they will be providing a website for our customers and attending all of our town hall meetings. And they're given a phone number they can call. And so they're going to put together a really nice FAQ page. So that is all moving forward. It's just not as fast as we had anticipated. Also, the fire parcel tax should be on a special tax ballot in August. So that is also moving forward. And then I just wanted to let you all know that I am starting going on vacation next Thursday. So we do have the workshop planned for the 25th, which will have our second quarter financials on it. Feeds, goals and objectives will be based on it the 25th. And the mid-year budget adjustments will also be placed on that agenda. So that will be an important one for you guys to attend. And then also I have to take care of some medical stuff on March 11th, which is our regular March meeting date. I will be here prior to the meeting, so I'll be back from vacation, but for the board preparation of the March meeting, so if you need anything prior to that meeting, please let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to refer you to Megan. And then, so she'll be running both of those meetings. So be on the best behavior.
We'll be nice to her.
Okay, good. And then I'm missing Form 700 from one board member. So I need to get that. And then anybody that has their ethics and their sexual harassment prevention that is needed to be done, please get those to me as soon as possible, the certificate. And I'm going to pass it over to Megan. I actually cast the torch of our You're in Review videos and gave it to Megan. And she put together a very, very nice presentation for the year 2024. So she is going to share that with you now. Did you have any questions before we get into this? I can update you on that. We did, I believe it was last week, Michelle presented a very, very well-written final request for payment to the chamber. We did have our president and vice president CC'd in the correspondence, and I don't know if you have heard anything back.
I have not had a response back. Even a service by mail or by email. So, we're still not.
I mean, there is discussion of possibly having to take legal action. So,
it was a very well written letter.
Do we get to see the letter?
Sure. Yes, we can make sure that it gets distributed.
Okay.
You'll get to. Yeah, just send it to everybody. Okay. Any other questions for me?
Okay. Thank you for all of that. Thank you.
is that being taken out of tape?
Thank you. whistling and humming.
It's been in my head. Thank you for being up with us.
Oh,
sorry.
Should be gone within a couple of hours.
Yeah. Next time I'll bring snacks.
I look forward to that.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
We just have another quick. We always say we couldn't, do it without everybody's cooperation and without the support of the board.
So we're going
to want. Now you guys are part of it.
Girls,
I'm okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, so where are we at? Okay, we just finished it.
Here, guys.
So we shall move on to
that. Was awesome.
Did you have anything? And not really much. I'll just add, I've been working really closely with Rachel and Kate. We're going to work on the Lake City together. But I've also been sending, I'm working on submitting reimbursements. So I will be billing Hetch Hetchy Railroad Trail Project TCTC $23,000. So that will be reimbursement through the end of January.
First one.
Mm-hmm. And then our other partner will be to the county, and that's for the CDBG grant. And I'll be submitting $66,000 to the county. So that will be through activity through December 31st, 2024. So, and then I'm also working on the financial quarterly presentation, and I'll have that for you guys on the 25th.
Lucky.
Lucky.
Yeah, I don't know.
First time that GCSD has accessed CDBG Community Development Block Grant money. Is our first reimbursement being submitted? We don't qualify individually for that money. We've talked about this a number of times, but we're a subrecipient through the county, so it had to go through the counties. But there's a competitive process first in 2018, then in 2019, we came out at the top of the list, and the money finally rolled out this year. So that's for a water line that you see the survey markers out there right now. They're marking property corners between here and Big Oak Flat. So this will be another 8-inch water line replacement from Deer Flat, which is just on the north side of town, to the center of Big Oak Flat. So we'll have new hydrants and actually have more than 200 gallons a minute.
Nice.
When you show up in Big Oak Flat,
it's
nice for those new hydrants. So when we get that done, we'll have a tour and everybody look at all the
new
stuff. No doubt party. Yeah, we'll open up a fire hydrant and let it go, and the kids can play.
Yeah.
Did you find a way to get around the Caltrans?
We have submitted. This is they actually have declared Highway 120, they have it designated as a freeway expressway. The same like I-5.
Yeah, that's what you had children last time in their last update, but we were able to submit.
We submitted the exclusion application, and they said it would be 3 months to a couple of months to get approved. And then they can issue the encroachment permit, but we're not allowed to do a pipeline that's parallel to the highway because of its designation. So even Highway 120, we can't do a pipeline that's in the Caltrans byway. Not in the highway, but even in the right way, parallel to it. Except we can ask for an exclusion. We're going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a matter of time. But we had to survey all of the property corners to show them all of the property lines were and that was required by Caltrans. So that's part of the process.
They could just
another $12,000 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. You keep somebody employed.
So good question. So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, so then we'll just transition right into the general manager's report,
right? I provided a very brief report, and I do that because most of what I do winds up on your agenda, and we don't need to repeat that. But we did have our first CSDA meeting on January 17th that I chaired this year. Really interesting, fantastic board. We've assigned committees, and they're just great committees and everything else. So it's really a We had our chapter meeting, and we had really good attendance, the CSDA chapter. And we believe that was because we had our first speaker ever. We had Supervisor Greek were there, and he kind of gave his thoughts and visions, and we were able to get introductions going. So we think it's really good. We're going to go through and have the supervisor come into that group. And so that's the Pullman County chapter of CSCA. That's a good deal. This the other item was the presentation, the form that we had on January 24th. It was organized by the FireWise folks. It was attended by the Fire Safety Council, Cal Fire, Forest Service, GCSD, Supervisor Briefer. It's held at Camp Pullman Trails. And we had our representatives, our state assemblyman, and our state senator there, and state senator staff, which was great, because what we did is basically we were able to present that the Groveland area is being very proactive in its fuels management. We've got, you know, we've got the vegetation management plan. We've got the shaded fuel breaks that we're doing. And then there have been a couple of FireWise communities that have met the accreditation or the standards to be FireWise communities. And so we hope that continues. That the purpose of that was just to get them acquainted, get our legislators acquainted with the activities we're doing, and hopefully have an impact at some point on the ability to get fire insurance and the cost of fire insurance. We didn't hear very good news from our elected representatives about the future of fire insurance in California, but I'm not going to speak to it until I actually, you know, hear more about it. But as you know, it's in because of the Southern California fires and the cost. It's going to cause some real difficulty in the insurance market. I included the presentation I did. You may not have had a chance to look at it yet. Just shows the fuels reduction projects that we've done, and presents that. You saw a picture in Megan's presentation from last year from that August fire, and it's got a before and after Google Earth image in the presentation that, you know, that shows that it was, you know, the fuel from bottom to top. And after we did the mastication up there, you can sit on the top of the hill and look all the way down to our property line. Yeah. And see through the trees, and really, really helped out. We actually had some ignition out there. So County Natural Resources Committee, I included the agenda with some notes on it. There's some interesting conversation. The room was packed with people wanting to oppose the pellet factory that's going down the hill. It's in the county. It's
in Jamestown.
Yeah, it's outside of Jamestown. But it's, I have not looked into it at all. But anyway, because people saw the word biomass on the agenda, they thought that was a discussion about that particular project. So quite an opposition group there, primarily just health hazards and the supposed health hazards and different problems with it. So anyway, it doesn't impact us. It's more of a environmental issue, it seems like.
It's part of the environment of the zoning somewhere, right?
Yes.
The biomass.
Yes.
Is there going to be biomass to create pellets?
That's what they're saying. Yeah, sure. they're wood waste.
Yes,
yeah,
that's good.
Create all the forest, but it's not.
It's not.
Yeah. Well, would have to. It's not. It's probably not worth our conversation until it gets.
Yeah.
It gets further on. More of a, it's not a, it's not anything that's going to directly have an impact on us, but it's a conversation related to whether the wood waste is actually really going to get used, and the factory is going to produce material that's going to be intended to be shipped overseas. you know, not like we're going to have wood pellets for cheap here locally.
No.
You know, it's, but it is a reuse of the material instead of burning it. So,
right.
So there are people at opposite ends in this meeting,
yeah,
starting to get upset with each other about it.
Oh,
then the last thing that I want to touch on, we had a meeting among the water managers in Pony Calveras and Amador County yesterday, just because there is a lot of misinformation about the ability of a domestic water system to perform in a fire like we saw in Southern California. I can tell you that if we had something similar here, there's no way that we can produce 30,000 gallons a minute. I mean, you know, in reality, when you have a couple dozen tractors on fire, you got, you know, maybe, you know, 10 or 20 fire trucks out there drawing, and everything else, there's just, our system would just, it would fail almost immediately. We, you know, we've got domestic water systems are designed to provide potable water, and fire hydrants are installed to deliver somewhere between 1,000 and 1,500 gallons a minute for 2 hours. That's the amount that we typically look for in scope in water storage. So that's kind of a single structure firefight in normal circumstance. So this information piece came out from the Association of California Water Agencies. It's kind of interesting if you get a chance to read it. There will be more information coming out from the water managers, or actually delegated the subgroup to put that together, just to educate our customers and make sure legislators understand that, you know, a regulatory standard that makes us have enough water to fight a fire like that is impossible.
Right.
And right now, we think that it is possible. You know, I mean, we couldn't store 67 million gallons of water. It's just not, it wouldn't be feasible, it wouldn't be cost effective, it'd be a waste for a once in a lifetime use. So anyway, you'll see some information come out about that, and I'm open for questions. And make sure if you hear anybody talking about doing root sprinklers, that you encourage them that root sprinklers are probably not a good idea. You know, can you imagine, really, if we had, you know, 20 people fire up their sprinklers and then evacuate?
Yeah.
Nice. Nice thought, but in reality, there goes the water that's stored in the tank, you know. We're all investing a lot of time and money into our infrastructure to keep it so that when you get on that fire hydrant, it works. You know, when you open it, it can fill a truck, it can fill a hose, you know. And that's what our focus is.
All right, anybody else? Do you have any questions? Okay.
Ready.
So,
you're done? I am.
All right. We shall go on to item 3B, proclamations. Recognition of Jennifer Donabedi for her 14 years of service to the Groveland Community Services District.
I'll start it off. Last week, Jen shared a 14-year-old journal entry that she found in her diary, and it was how she was really nervous but super excited because she just applied for Groveland Community Services District, and she couldn't wait to get out of the political crap that was happening at her previous employment, and that she's so excited and she hopes she gets it. And I just feel like that was pretty neat to see. She got it all right, but I don't think she avoided any political crap.
You think she fell
right back to when that would have been that she was joining DCSD?
I feel like her enthusiasm for that journal entry that she made 14 years ago still carries into every day that she's here. And we all know she's just a very, she's like the rock of this organization for a lot of us here. And as far as management goes, she's just so protective of all of her admin staff. And I feel that she mentors us with individual things that are meant for us individually. She helps build our career path based on our capabilities, and she just pushes us and keeps us going and drives us in the correct moving forward motion, you know, that she instilled in all of us. So she's just wonderful, and we miss her a lot, but we're also really happy that she gets to be at home and bonding with new baby Everett, and we're excited for her to come back, but we love her. We miss her. We love her around here.
We're lucky to have her.
Yeah,
that's
for
sure.
Very lucky. And
you made the statement that she pushes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I see it more as you know, kind of like the mother hen. You know, she walks by and people follow. You know, and she's an excellent leader, and very motivational, very inspirational. It was, you know, I mean, seeing her struggle early when I first came to board meetings, you know, just because of some of the controversy, you know, you don't see her struggle much at all. It never shows it, but it was, it seemed like it was not a good environment for her, and I cared for her from the very beginning. You know, it was, it's great to join GCSD and to see her grow immediately and take on all the things that had been dropped in her lap that she didn't know existed, you know, because basically the district just let go of so many staff, and she had to pick it up, and she did it. She's built a great team that you've seen advance in just the short last few years, and that's a tribute to her excellent leadership. I appreciate working with her every day.
We're just lucky to have her.
Not to say something. I remember when she got hired, and because she came shortly after I came over, and she's amazing. It's been really a pleasure to see her grow and learn and just, you know, become who she is now. She went through a lot of hard times. I mean, this place was not fun to be around all the time. So it was, you know, she's an amazing person. We are so lucky to have her.
And she does love this place. I mean, still to this day, she loves knowing that every time she pulls into the driveway to show up to work in the morning, she never one time expressed that, I gotta go to work, you know, and she still shares that feeling with us quite often, you know. And so this is just, we really built a great team, and then she is the one that supported this admin group, and she's just a great mentor, honestly. She's really got a good thing going.
Lucky for all of us.
Congratulations, yeah. Jennifer.
Yes.
Okay, so I'll say his last name incorrectly. So
I'll say it.
I'll say it's going to be good. A recognition of Adam Allsweep for his 5 years of service to the Groveland Community Services District.
Really good.
All right. Well, Adam came here. He came from Modesto with a lot of experience, over 20 years down there in the, you know, city of Modesto. So he had the knowledge of, you know, what we do, and I came in as a supervisor. We saw another strength in him, and we put him in our asset management, property management, encroachment permits, all this stuff that would chew up so much time. We had these special district forms in the county where people were building stuff that you could get 15 at one time, and you got to monitor them. And it's just like, it just eat up so much time. And in taking over and working through our GIS and our mapping and all that has just been a huge, huge help for us. The people ask us for us, you know, still write to them, they'll send a map, they send all the data that engineering firms need or just county people, whatever. It's all the in the form of the thing for field projects, all that stuff. So him moving into that and kind of just taking on that whole position, just out of off a whim in a sense, has been a huge asset for the district, and he brings that knowledge and he really excels in that format too. He likes to create forms and maps and he loves it. So he really, you know, found his niche in that area and it helped us out there.
Organized process development. You know, organize the equipment permitting process that didn't exist before.
Yeah.
We had a policy related to it, but it was typically done by the district engineer when we had a SAP engineer. We went through a long period of time, we didn't have anybody doing it. And, you know, things can get pretty crazy. And that's why you see all of the encroachments on our easements that we're going to have to deal with is because we didn't have somebody in that position watching out for district easements and assets. And now we do. We'll be doing bills reduction and access on all of our water and sewer easements that are currently now, in many cases, not drivable. And that's all because of the work that he's done to get that inventoried and documented and everything else. And just he challenges me every day with something new. You know, he's just one of those people that's constantly thinking about a process or thinking about a way to make things better and improve it. And single-handedly has been responsible for the record of survey and the ALTA survey for the Hetch Hetchy Railroad property acquisition, which is huge. That's something none of us have ever done. And so he's managing a consultant there and reviewing the documents, and he's meticulous at looking at plans and specifications with Louie. It's a big help to make sure we get the right project. And so it just really, in 5 years, he's come a long way. Basically developed the department of one, you know, doing a good job.
And he loves his staff.
Step
of one.
Yeah,
he loves
his staff. Yeah, he does. Super, both Janet and Adam are extremely reliable and fantastic work ethic.
I'm going to want to commend Peter Louie and everybody else, but mostly Peter Louie for recognizing that he had a skill set to get into this. Because one of the things that people, I don't think many of our clients actually understand particularly well, is that there is paperwork involved with running a district because of the interface with state, with real estate, and with God knows other stuff. And certainly when I joined as a director here, I didn't know anything about this. And at the time we were running in a kind of a mode, which is more like just keep stuff running. And it was very, you know, there was no actual thought about the fact that we're, among other things, a political entity. We are a subset of the state and we have obligations to do paperwork, lots of it. So I think finding, you know, he's a stroke of luck that he turns out to be good at it and likes doing it, because that's the kind of thing that most people in this business don't really have any interest in. There's no wrenches involved. I mean,
it's a lot of correspondence with customers.
And it's a real pain in the neck kind of thing.
It is.
So I think kudos to him, hope he sticks around. And also kudos to the folks that noticed that this was a hole that needed to fill, because it was something that was not addressed in my early years with this game, because we didn't know any better. It's
awesome. Well, I mean, then we're just followed up by this other slacker. We don't want to
get it out of it that easy, woman. Nice try.
We love our directors.
The other slacker. Boy.
Yeah, congratulations, Nancy, on 7 years.
Everything was going to be 7 years.
Hard to imagine. No, it's been surprising.
Yeah,
and it just goes right by.
And happily surprising.
Yeah. I think I've said a million times in this venue and others is I as a manager can't get things done if I had a board that wasn't very thoughtful and forward thinking. And Bob just said, you know, there's a lot more to it than you can imagine. It's not just keeping rates down. That's not what it's about. That's all you're doing is you're deferring costs for a future generation to pick up because those costs are there. And this board and with the leadership that we got on the board, it's been a good understanding of things. It's been forward progress constantly. It's a big challenge to staff, your staff that loves doing it. And we appreciate all of your effort and your enthusiasm and your care for the community and all your input.
And your strength, because you're going to have that strength over the next several months. There's some interesting times coming up. So we just really appreciate how on board you guys are with us. And we just support you guys so much, too. And we always love all your treats.
And you're getting. Yeah, I haven't been very good about bringing it lately.
And next week, I get to go. Yeah, next week I get to go hang out on my flags on my door of my cruise ship room.
Yeah. Yes.
And Bob, as much as I wanted to put you on the proclamations again, I've already given to you twice this year. I'm gonna wait again.
You're gonna have to change the other ways so you can change the year.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd like to say that Nancy, you're awesome. We've been through a lot of work here, and it's been bad, but this has been the best, and we've gotten a lot done. So,
that's a big kudos
from John. That's a successful relationship building,
yes.
Right there.
It is. Yes, you know, it is.
Among
exactly.
All of us.
Yeah. This has been incredible
voice.
Oh, no. John Brian and Nancy were going.
Yeah, you got me going.
I went to the public I ran into at the post office the other day, and he wanted to give a big congratulations to he and the board, as well as the staff, for all the grant money and all the progress that they have. That this particular person had seen, and it was Lon Shelby who did this, and he's done it with me before, said this to me quite often, actually, whenever I see him, he reminds me how he is of all of us, how far we've come, and it's always nice to hear, so I wanted to share it.
He wasn't always happy with us.
Oh, no, I got a whiff of his.
He was one of the first people I met who was.
Yeah,
like, oh, God.
I got a whiff of his anger one day when he told me that I was no longer his friend. Oh. Right out front, right before a meeting, and you go, "Oh my God!"
He's actually come to me and said, "Man, you guys are doing great."
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Now I was hired.
It's just
coming out of his mouth.
Those in public service don't hear that very often. Yeah.
No,
it's
nice.
Always appreciated.
You had to have thick skins here.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
It's
somewhere in here, I made note to kind of do my kudos thing too, so I'll just do it now. At our airport monthly meeting, whatever the first of it, I think it was the first Saturday, I'm sitting across from some of the people up there. And we're friends, but haven't really been together or talked much. And it was Diana Joe for clarification. And she's just like, oh, she goes, I just thank you for, you know, sticking it on the board. And I went, oh my gosh, the things that you guys did. And she just went on. And I mean, she's really tuned into it. I mean, she's naming specific things, you know, like she's just not real general. And her one thing is she was, oh, and probably one of the best things you have done is brought on that social media consultant.
Yeah.
And I said, also known as Bonnie. And she's like, I mean, it's just probably the best thing for us in the community. It's so easy to follow, and it's so, you know, informational, and it seems like we just know everything that's going on, because she just keeps everybody, and she just, and I was like, well, so I was hoping Ronnie was going to be on today.
She
was absence. That was a controversial decision, but why did it pay off?
And then, so anyway, and so she went on and on a lot more than I just did, because she would kind of give example on each thing. And then at some point, they brought up the proposal. Anyway, talked about, you know, we kind of just floated at one time, like the county, if they want to shut down that the airport, you know, maybe, do we do this? Do we do that? Does it become part of the district or whatever? And so that was just kind of thrown out there. And there was a guy sitting kind of over here who I don't know, so I could know his name if I wanted to. And he just did the old-fashioned, typical, oh, well, God, we know what happened with the district, and Bobby just whined. And I'm just sitting there just like gritting my teeth, because he's like, you know, imagine the money, how much our rates will go up then and all that kind of stuff. And so Leo, my husband, then chimes in and is like, oh, God, here we go. Any of you who see this post next door? He goes, you know, I mean, a lot of people do complain about the district and this and that. He says, but one thing you don't necessarily ever really hear anybody talk about is all of the good things they're doing, you know, and they've got Pete Campin out in there running the show, and he is so tuned into all these grants. So all this stuff that's happening, and, you know, it's very much for the benefit of us, would not be happening if that wasn't the case, you know, and whatever. And I have no idea why he did this, but it's like, we're seeing so many, right? He's like, well, and you have the board president sitting right here, and I was just like, Leo, I don't know that. I don't need
yeah.
Don't mark me.
I'm an X on my board. But the guy didn't say anything to me. I guess I didn't think he would at the time, but it was just kind of, I don't know, it just kind of threw me off guard a little bit. But yeah, so yeah. There's still some of those people, but luckily much more than fewer, yes. Yeah. But yeah, so we gotta make sure to get Ronnie some kudos.
She should be logging in. Just have a fire engagement.
Alrighty. So we don't need to really go through the item 4 stuff, right? Because that was all part of
the consent calendar.
So then we are on to item 6.
Well, no, we do need to get a motion.
Oh, that's right.
We
didn't do that part.
Move to approve the consent.
I'll second that.
Any public comments? Sorry.
Right.
We were moving really fast right there. Oh, I moved first. Then it's public. I know.
So, the motion was made by Bob Swan, seconded by Janice Fuyakasi. Do we have any public comment? Any board comment?
Nothing
online? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carried. All right. So then we're on to item 6, the discussion and action items. A, the board discussion on support for the district to assist the project managers of Guam County Fire Safe Council in implementation of the defensible space for seniors and disabled in the Tuolumne County project. On item page 49.
This just happened to come across us last week. We have representatives here from that group, one of the project managers that I have introduced himself, but we included some information on the agenda just in the staff report about a potential partnership or relationship, basically being a local liaison for their efforts. And introduce yourself and just talk a little bit about the
program. Good morning. My name is Scott Friend. I'm one of the project managers out of a partner named Jeremy Gallen, who's my cohort in this. We have this project, without going into a whole bunch of detail, the board memo that you got covers almost all of it. If you read that completely, it's pretty inclusive of everything that's going to happen. At right now, we have the CEQA document in process for the Groveland area. We selected the Groveland area first for a lot of reasons. I've worked with the GSD before and Mr. Canepa when I had one of those on. And we had a lot of success. I know that you folks have a lot of resources that are available, and you've always been very, very cooperative in any of the endeavors I've had with your board and this organization. Essentially, what we are not looking, we are just looking for, basically, we just want to let you know that we're going to be up here working in your area. Want to let you know what the project is all about. And I think the board memo that you got pretty much encompasses it. I think it's a critical thing for our entire community as a whole. This will go countywide. It's a critical part of fire protection in this area, especially for the group that we're targeting. A lot of times when you'll actually have a wildland fire go through Groveland, which is not uncommon, some of the folks that, you know, one of the communities that we're looking to serve here, the disabled folks, they may have an issue actually exiting their structure or evacuating. And this will hopefully, in the right fire environment, give them some time to do that. With that said, I don't want to be too long-winded and take any more of your time than I already have. What we're looking for is there's some things that myself, my partner, and Mr. Canepa talked about that the GSD can provide. It's basically just technical stuff. Just little advice about how we can move around the community. That's probably about it. I don't really see any type of fiscal liability that you would have in this at all, or legal liability. Basically, it's just a cooperation between two agencies to meet one goal that nobody has any type. We, at the end of the day, have statutory authority to do all this and the authority and the responsibility to do it. We're just, without too much of a word salad here, we're just looking. We know you guys have a lot of resources that are really good, really helpful, and we're just want to tap into that. That's about it.
So just for those that may not have read the agenda packet, especially the fire folks, this project, they were awarded grant money through the Fire Safe Council, and they will be doing coordinating the defensible space for seniors and disabled folks throughout the community. So that's a big deal. That's not an easy thing to get people to do it, even if it's funded, or to let somebody on their property to do it, and we know that. But I think we've got the right staff, the right in with the community in various venues and ways, working with the Southside seniors and maybe even CERT folks and all that to get the message out, find the people. And I don't know if we've got the information from the inspections that were done before, if we've got any of those lists around, maybe. No. But anyway, okay. We actually had the inspector back several years ago and helped identify some properties, but this will actually do coordinate and do the work. And it's grant money for those that qualify for it.
Awesome.
Anyway, you see on the second page, I think it's page 50 on your numbered packet, where it just kind of gives an overview of some of the things that we would help with just in a matter of our normal daily routine. Program outreach, conducting community meetings, identification of collaborating entities. I talked a little bit about them already. And eligible recipients, you know, maybe maintaining the list and all that. Providing property information. We've got the GIS that shows, you know, I mean, it's got Google Earth imagery and somewhat about property lines and address and things like that. So it'd be helpful to just be able to print things out for the folks doing the work or managing the program. Social media, yeah, I think it'd be really good. It'd be a good way to promote our interest in making the community fire safe. And then post the information on our website, flyers and that kind of stuff. I think that'd be a big help.
Yeah, we're also going to load on the Wyoming County Fire Safe Council website the whole program shortly. And I think what we could do, and I'm not a tech guy, what we could do is make that linkable to, and that would probably touch a lot of people because, like I said, we are starting here in Groveland for a lot of reasons, but the entire program is going to go campwide. So after we finish this, and we get basically a footprint sync with them, it'll make all the other sequels pretty, hopefully, easier, and we can move around the county a little bit quicker. Like I said, the CEQA is almost done, and after that, we can really start rolling pretty well. So we appreciate your help.
I think it's pretty awesome that we get to go first.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
We get to go first. I think that's just...
I do too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, kind of like you said, we're a smaller community, so
right.
A good place to get your feet wet and kind of figure out, you know, whatever. But I also just, there's a lot of senior citizens up here who will hopefully benefit hugely from this. Between this and the Red Cross thing, I think it's fabulous.
Yeah. So,
this is amazing. I think the single.
Will we be the entity approving this one?
No, sir.
We have no administrative role in this at all.
The GCTC or TCC?
We have a registered professional forester that we contract with, Adam Fries. He's worked at Cal Fire. I don't know. I'm sure Mr. Camp is familiar with him. He does excellent work, and Adam is in the process of finalizing that now. That will go to Gary Whitson with Cal Fire shortly, and that portion of the puzzle should be buttoned up by then.
Okay.
So, yeah. The sequence, yeah. And, okay. Yeah,
it's fine. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I understand I understand the concern.
Yeah, we're really an extension of the program, but more than anything.
Yeah, we're a consultant, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got the databases. We know how to get a hold of people. A lot of people that trust us. We're local.
Yeah, and we can put a link to your website on our website.
Yeah,
things like that.
I can have, like I said, I am not the tech person. I can have our tech person get hold of your tech person, and then they can do whatever they do.
Yeah, right.
We can all tech you together.
So it'll involve contractors that they qualify, a list of contractors that will be doing the work, and they'll manage all the contracts with them and everything else.
And we're going to try to stay as local as we can with the contractors, just because they need the business. You know, that's the other part. And like me and Mr. Camper were talking about the last meeting we had, it's like, I think it's real critical that the public understands that this is their tax.
Yeah.
You know, it's they're actually getting a benefit from government.
Hmm.
So, which is a good deal. And, you know, it's kind of a two-pronged deal. It's like and basically getting the work done here by local people helps the economy here too. So
I think it's great. Good program. So I move to authorize general manager and staff to assist Tuolumne County Fire Safe Council in the implementation of the defensible space for seniors and disabled in Tuolumne County.
I'll second that motion.
And just before we take the vote, was there any other public comment? Anybody? Okay. All right. So the motion was made by Director Armstrong, seconded by Director Giacobbe. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed say nay?
I'm sorry.
You almost just said aye.
I did. That was the movie. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. Now, another meeting I have to go to.
Yeah.
They walked in the door last week, and it was just
perfect timing.
Rachel was so excited she couldn't even them, but when they came in,
I just knew one of them, Jerry.
Yeah.
And I think that was my excitement.
Okay.
So, like, I was like, so excited today, got more.
Item B, board review and discussion pertaining to the district's response to the Tuolumne County Planning Commission regarding the tiny house village project.
I don't know if you guys know or not, but Travis normally leaves after staff reports. You guys can totally stay. We love to have you, but if you guys want to leave, you can. I just wanted to let you know.
All right. Great. You can leave. You got to get back this guy though.
It's because of the new rotating schedules that they have.
You tell me when you're ready to get away from me.
Nancy did there for
me. Nancy always makes puddings.
Wow.
Did
you turn this one up?
We needed a quick intermission.
More meetings to get her cookies.
Nancy made them.
Oh God, so much sugar.
Okay.
Okay.
So speaking of
money. I got one
other.
This is on your agenda, not just in passing, on the consent agenda or in my GM report, just because we've entered a new I don't want to call it mode of operation because we don't operate this way in challenging these types of projects. That's not our intent. Our intent is for these projects to be considered adequate by the county and approved, if that's what the process allows. The thing that we are protecting here is the life and property of our taxpayer within the district boundary. We also want to make sure that we are capable of fulfilling our obligations or responsibilities under a mutual aid agreement. We like having a whole bunch of resources show up to help us out, and we need to be prepared to help them out, to the extent that we can with the people that we have. The thing that is difficult in this particular situation and all the other projects that we've seen, every single one that we've considered and had conversations about in the past, is they are, in and of themselves, they're a drain on district resources.
If you take the, you know, the Cal Fire engine off the hill, which it was in the past, we're lucky this year, could be in the future, that is stationed here all the time. It's on the state's mission, so it could be down in Southern California. It could be anywhere. We don't call that. The state does. We have the county engine that is graciously in our station staffed and co-locating, co-occupying our fire station, and it's been fantastic. Yeah, they don't get a lot of calls, but those calls that they do respond to keeps that engine, our engine, in the station, you know, and that's critical to keeping our response times that we set. The unfortunate thing about the county engine in our station is that it's grant funded, short-term grant funded, likely around March of 26, that funding will be exhausted. And as it stands now, the county is working diligently to reduce expenses in all other areas to be able to keep the fire department staff. But when you look at call volumes and when you look at where those calls are occurring, that county engine and that county resource is very vulnerable to being pulled. I'm not saying it's okay for it to be pulled, but it's very vulnerable. And I mean, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with me anywhere, but it's a political decision that the Board of Supervisors is going to make. The dilemma that we're seeing on these projects is that when the county planning department is approving these projects, is making a recommendation to the planning commission or board supervisors to approve them, they're listing in the project review that the county fire is going to respond and that GCSD fire is going to respond under the mutual aid agreement and that Cal Fire is there to respond, maybe U.S. Forest Service. So they're listing all of these resources like they're there and available. It seems like a no-brainer to the planning commission. What are these guys complaining about? These resources are all there because it's listed in the document. The reality is it's a Cal Fire resource on Merrill that may not be there. It's the county engine that may not be there. And then you got the GCSD engine funded with two people. And that's the truth of the matter. And so this board made it very clear that I'm to protect that at all costs. And we put just an absolutely enormous effort into this, and a lot of time, a lot of sweat, a lot of time with Andy, a lot of, you know, if I do it wrong, I hear from Andy, you know, because sometimes it takes the attorneys until the last minute to get a letter together, and then it lands on the planning commission and everybody's looking at each other like, what is this? You know, that's what happened with the residential development. But it's the only recourse, the only avenue that we have that actually does something. And it's responding in a manner that feels like something may head to litigation. When the board actually went through this process with the Longolt project recently, and we wrote the letter, went to the planning commission. Planning commission couldn't make a decision. They moved it to the board of supervisors. They approved it unanimously. We, within that 30-day period, that's when the board chose to file the action in court against the CEQA document that did not mitigate the impact on our fire department, did not think about the future of needing a fire station out there, did not even consider any of that because they figured that we were responding. So filing that action in court resulted in the immediate withdrawal of the application and then the subsequent Board of Supervisors action to rescind their approval of the project. That project is gone. Not what we wanted. Yeah, I mean, we were willing to serve it. It was connected to the water and sewer system and could have annexed to the district and could have received services from the fire department as part of the district. It was directly adjacent to it. This project is a little bit different, a little bit farther out, not much, but a little bit farther out. It's only an 8-minute response time from the station, very doable. to get there. But the bottom line is it's not in the district boundary, which means that the taxpayers in the district will be funding our response to that location. And then if someone think we get a drive from there to Big Oak Flat, we're over our response time standard, you know, just by the nature of it. And the way that these environmental documents were done, and Chief Murphy can may be able to address questions related to that, is that when under Canvas and TerraV were being formulated, they actually did, they hired a consultant to do a study on how many calls it would increase based on the population of the resort. Yeah. And then, you know, I'm not going to get into the methodology and everything else, but basically the long and short of it, they said that a project like this with 12 units and the Yogi Dome would result in less than one call a year. I don't know how you say that.
Yeah,
there's no way to predict that. Well, they have a, I mean, yeah, you know, they just looked at how population drives the number of calls, and the population of this resort, and applied that factor to it, and it comes out as less than one. It's not, even if it's one, it still could be the one where a small fire happens and it takes us too long to get to it, it becomes a big fire, you know?
So they don't look at the absolute.
What's missing in the whole thing is that decades ago, when they zoned this property public and recreation and, you know, conducive to the resorts, the whole corridor, I don't think anybody knew about it because it was just a rezone without a project. Nobody really thought what was going to happen. I haven't looked at the record, but when that was done, they should have planned how they were going to provide services out there. Everything from law enforcement to garbage to fire to public facilities to parks to all of it. Just plan it out. Have somebody do what's called a sub-area master plan. You identify what's needed to not impact services in other areas. They didn't plan it. They didn't even think about planning. So, but then as these projects come in, they're just plugging them in and not even identifying how it could potentially be a disaster. And that's what we've seen. And Andy and I have worked hand in hand for many years now, you know, but probably five or so on this matter, just trying to walk the county down the road of planning for the future, financially planning to fund those, putting some of the financial burden on the projects to pay for the cost of expansion so that it doesn't just land on taxpayers to do it, existing, because that's the way that everybody else does it throughout the state. When they, you know, many do it as a community facilities district, some of it do it through impact fees or a combination of those. Had they done that from the beginning, we'd have another station out there. You know, it would have been funded by all of the rooms that are already out there that they can't make do it and seem to not be able to get a vote on it. And I, you know, I have to say that, you know, I hate this to be another project that we have to go to battle over, but it's our only avenue. I mean, I haven't gotten any feedback from the county that they're willing to enter into a long-term agreement of any sort, or that they intend to, in perpetuity, fund that station, fund the engine there. They've said it, Tracy Ridge, who's the Hollywood County, said it a couple times in meetings, said it through their consultant that they were planning it, but none of those things have really moved forward to any, you know, any action. So it just kind of sits there, and, you know, it's leaving us vulnerable because these projects, the county board is going to approve them, and then we're going to have to spend $15,000 to file action in court. We have to actually go to court. It could be a bunch more money over. But I'm a strong believer that if we do get to that point, it's going to change the way things happen in this state, because it will, you know, if we go to court on something and actually go to the end, it's going to change the way that counties have to plan. Just because of how long this whole thing is. Anyway, I've spent enough of my stress over it and enough of my time, enough of Andrew's time, enough, you know, I presented this because this may be headed that way. If this goes back on the agenda for the Planning Commission, we'll conduct a closed session and have a conversation about whether we initiate litigation for their improvement.
This whole thing irritates the hell out of me. I mean, number one, I wanted to stop calling it mutual aid, because if you're on a first alarm assignment for a structure fire, that's not mutual aid, that's auto aid. And most departments that provide auto aid are going to get paid for that auto aid. I work for a department. We had auto aid with Fairfield, and that department, we received, this is back in the early 90s, we were receiving over $300,000 a year for that auto aid. So I wanted to stop being called mutual aid, because it's not. We're against a rock and a hard spot here, because we talked about it. I said, well, we shouldn't respond out there. Chief, you said to us that if we don't respond out there, that null and voids our contract. So we would be without a fire department. Well, where is the contract that's being null and voided by the county? Where is that? Because isn't there something with CAL FIRE that they have responsibility to be able to respond to fires in a proper manner? I mean, we've got a resort, Rush Creek, that cannot safely be laddered. We should have had a ladder truck here for that. And it's not there. We have two personnel on an engine. That's, you take the two engines here, it has to have those two engines on scene at the same time to enter that building, unless there's a rescue, because of two in, two out. Okay, this is the county is just thumbing their nose at us. It's disgusting. And I'd like to see something with CAL FIRE say, no, you can't do that, because you haven't planned for a proper fire department up there to protect all the people. They're just putting it on the backs of our constituents, which is just wrong. I've been dealing with this ever since I've been on the board. You know, this is the part I hate, and I'm sick and tired of it. And if it takes us to sue them, then we need to do it, because we have to stand up for our folks. What if our engine's up there on a fire and somebody has a heart attack and they die? That is so wrong. The other thing I'd like to see is prioritize our calls. If we're responding to a fire up country and we get a medical emergency, we turn that engine around and it goes to the medical emergency. Because in order, life, property, environment, that is a fire department's duty. Okay, and every fire department I work for, we did that. And it's not being done here. This is wrong for us to be putting our resources out there and doing this type of garbage. And it's not your fault, but you're going to get it. You know, you're taking it, because I am sick and tired of this county just stepping on us, thinking that they can just have us. Oh, they'll take care of it. They'll take care of it. That is just out there. And it's, you know, we've got a 1950s fire department throughout this whole county, because this county has not planned for it. If they had done a community service, if they had done that 10 years ago, we wouldn't have a problem with fire, law enforcement, roads, and all that. Look at our roads. Look at everything in this county. They're taking 15% cuts throughout all departments in the county because these idiots cannot budget and cannot fix this problem. And it's a simple problem to fix. I've been beating my head against the wall for 14 years saying the same thing, because when I was with Cordelia Fire in the early 90s and people wanted to develop in our fire district, they were going to pay for the fire department. They were going to put a station in. They were going to put an engine there. And then they were going to pay for those firefighters every year. And that's what needs to be happening up here. We have watched resort after resort after resort go in here, shoddily built, with no consideration of fighting fire or anything. And it's, I don't know what to say.
I agree with everything you said, except for the one thing I have complained about before. I'll call them idiots.
Okay, I know you're right.
Call them county.
You're right. That's what
we're on. I understand.
You're right. That's where I go wrong.
That's kind of, because if they listen to it, that's, they're just going to.
Yeah, I know. This is
a perfect example of one organization within the county that needs to have training. The planning department just can't pick anybody that's available to sit on that commission and say, oh yeah, well, that'll be great. Sounds like fun. Let's do it. They have to be able to look at the whole thing and understand that it's more than just a new resort going up and more money for the county, because that's the way the rest of the county departments think of it. But the planning department should be the last stop to save our constituents from spending the money out of their pocket to support things that the county's falling under their due, they're too lax on what's theirs to protect. And as far as what's in the planning department plans, if that fire engine here is not permanent, it doesn't get brought up. Because you can't take something that's a maybe, and put it for a future service, promise it for future services that are not going to happen.
Yeah, that will be the stopgap from
right
county.
Right.
Yeah, because we don't know what's going
to happen. So maybe that's what the planning department needs to be aware of.
Yeah, their contract.
Everything that's a maybe is not eligible for consideration.
That's probably the most frustrating part of it, is just to be able to sit across the table from people that I respect and care for.
You're a bigger man than me.
And have them.
He is actually.
Have them act like it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
like it's tall. Like it's like we're just whining. John, we do have. We do have mutual aid today. So today, with that engine in there, we have mutual aid.
Yeah.
Because they respond for it.
Right.
Somehow we got to keep that.
But we're still on the first alarm for a fire.
Right. So I'm done. I think hopefully I made it clear. It's kind of the same thing on all of this. I just wish we had planned recycling.
There's no action here, right? You've already sent this letter. Or you're going to send this letter.
No, it was sent.
Yes, it was sent.
You're not asking us to approve
you to,
it or anything.
I wanted you to know about
this
it.
This is administrative. You don't have
it, right? No, it's just one of those things where you're going to hear from people. We're already getting questions. Why do we oppose new development?
No,
we don't. Right? You know, we're going to have to. We're going to have to do a little media. I'm going to Andy and
can I say one? I do like this letter. I like all the case law in there and everything. I thought that was.
That's what I told him as soon as he sat down. He said, talk about a well-written response letter.
And like, even though that's from legal counsel, it went to the planning commission, so it is a public record.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really all we can do at this point.
You know, I've been to a lot of meetings over the years, and I remember when Chair V was first coming in, and I do remember somewhere I can find it in the minutes. They ask, what would it cost? Nobody is ever coming up with the cost for a new development to throw in a lump sum. So I'm wondering why Now, this is just a thought. This is just a thought. Why the county and Cal Fire and GCSD can't get together and figure out some kind of a schedule. For instance, like I'm using this little house thing as an example. If you have a structure that little cabins and they're 300 square feet, if you can figure out a cost, square foot and distance. In other words, if something is further out of the sphere of influence, it's going to be more. If it's 15 miles out, then if it's 5 miles out, figure out a cost per structure. And that's what one like Terrabee should be throwing in for as many structures as they have, distance and square footage. Now, if GCSD and CAL FIRE, is that a good idea? And you can all get together and figure out when one of these developments comes in and says, well, how much is it going to cost? There was supposed to be like an upfront number. Terrabee never got it. Firefall got in without it. But everybody has said for years they have to pay their fair share. Yes, they do. But what is their fair share? You have to have some kind of a schedule or a structure that, you know, you can say, well, you're going to have 25 cabins that are going to be 250 square feet each at this price. So, and these many miles. So in other words, from 0 to 5 miles, it's this price. From 5 to 10, it's this price. That way somebody coming in, and you can always adjust that, but that would give a development, because I would like to see GCSD hook up to water to one of these things, because it's impacting the wells of the people around. It really is. But if they don't have an idea, and fire seems to be the main thing right now, if you can get some kind of a dollar amount per unit.
The problem with that is that they're paying their fair share, but they're paying it to the county. They're paying property tax and tax per unit and tax per room and all that. They're paying it to the county.
They're not the buyer.
They're not paying this yet.
No, you just described their community facilities. Okay?
Yes.
And the trouble is the county would have to establish it because it's in the county. We can't do it ourselves. We've talked to, I'm pretty sure we've had extensive discussions with the county about this kind of stuff.
Yes, they have on their agenda a number of times. I think it's stalled.
But it's just to be for the sphere of influence outside of the district, not the whole.
We don't have any authority outside of the sphere of influence. Doesn't actually give us any influence.
No. Well, but the engine that's from Tuolumne County is supposed to be for outside.
But it's not ours.
I know it's the county.
So we can't speak about it.
Let me address it. But that's one of the things that we've been pushing for, and he's been behind it. He wrote a very eloquent message to the county administration and others that are involved in planning related to this project, specifically on that. We have to do it. He's encouraging the county to get on board and actually get that adopted.
Someone wrote a letter?
Andy has been working with the county. We started it in Groveland. Uh-huh. Remember, we did the community facilities district. Had some people get upset. We promptly said, okay, we're not going to do a community facilities district-wide. First project that comes in, they'll be the unlucky one that has to do a community facilities district on their own. Okay, and then the next one will have to do their own, and then the next one. But they will do them in the district. But it's outside the district. We were pushing the county to get a community facilities district so that they could apply that rate. Because when you do a community facilities district, you have to do that calculation you're talking about.
Okay, but can that be done for just outside of the sphere of influence and not mm-hmm. impact people within the district boundary?
Well,
we did it.
They're doing it. It's countywide. It includes property within GCSD. It's not a donut hole. We're not a donut hole in their initial analysis and their study. There's been no conversation about if they have a community facilities district in the district boundaries, is that going to fund something different than what we have? We haven't gotten that far on it. They wanted to get the entire county included in a community facilities district. So if there were new commercial developments that came up,
that failed. Wasn't that on the ballot and failed?
No, it was not on the ballot. That was a sales tax committee. What has happened is that the county before the new board had momentum to get it done. They took certain actions. They never got it adopted. They were one step away from adopting it. They got a little bit of sidebar pushback from the development community, just saying, hey, you're killing us, you're killing us, you know, we don't want to pay a tax. And then you had the anti-tax people that did not understand even this much what they were saying that community facilities district is a way to make everybody have to pay. Not true. Absolutely illegal. So there was pushback from anti-tax folks and the Republican Central Committee. And then you had a change in board. Now you have three of them who have voiced their opposition to it. County Board of Supervisors. You have three that have said, we don't believe in a community facilities district to do this. So in all reality, unless people go in there and pound the drums and say, we want it, we need it, you need to do it, it's probably going to die, and they'll never do it. It's the responsible thing to do, but it's really hard. Even sitting down and talking with Steve Griefer about it to get him to understand a community facilities district is a vehicle that's required by law for that resort to pay for fire services in the future. There's one of the very few ways to get that done. It does not apply to any other parcel of land.
But that's a Mellow Roost. It's the same true. Thing.
Correct.
Nobody wants a Mellow Roost.
Well, that's the problem. It's spreading like garbage. It's spreading incorrect information by saying a Mellow Roost is going to apply to others than this one property. Here's the tiny house property. They create a Mellow Roost. The boundary goes around that property, you know, or the way the county was doing it, the way the district did it. The boundary goes around the entire county, and then nobody pays it until here's the tiny house. They say, oh, I want to pay that Mellow Roost tax. They're in. They're the only ones in. No one else can get in unless they voluntarily say, I want to be in. It can't be applied to anyone other than those that vote to be in. That's the long and short of it. And it's got to be. That point should be driven home, and the board supervisors got to understand. They got to get that adopted.
The other thing that people need to understand,
Can you talk a little louder, please?
The other thing that people need to understand is ad valorem taxes does not pay for a fire department anymore. We are losing ground. We only signed a 2-year contract with Cal Fire because we cannot afford it. And if we don't get this tax passed that we're going to be going for, we're not gonna have a fire department.
You're gonna get that tax.
I hope so.
You will.
But the problem is ad valorem taxes doesn't cover it. So yeah, Firefall's paying ad valorem taxes. All those other places are paying it, but it's not enough.
Firefall's paying a tax for
everybody does.
They didn't tax. Put Firefall isn't contributing.
They're paying to our county.
They're paying the county. Property taxes. We get our money for our fire department from our property taxes within our district.
Right.
Okay. They get money for their county fire department through the property taxes throughout the county. Okay. But it's not enough.
We're just going to rely on.
I mean, an engine now
besides themselves
is what? Over $1 million for an engine.
Also, we don't get any of that. Because they're not in our district. So we don't get any apportionment of the property tax that Firefall Ranch pays. So that doesn't do us any good. The thing about a community facilities district is that is the right way to do this. The thing that people get confused about, he just said it, but just to reiterate, is even if it is the whole county, even if they put a CFD and made the whole county a CFD, you only join the CFD if you vote to do it.
I'm sorry, you what?
If you vote to do it,
right?
Okay.
Right.
So the people that are just living here, I don't want to join the CFD with my house, so I'm not going to vote to do it. they can make that a condition of approval. The planning condition committee can, that commission and the board can then require that if somebody wants to do a project in the county, you know, a development project, that they have to vote to join the CFD.
We were supposed to have something like that.
We don't.
When we tried it here,
I know
it failed.
No, we were supposed to.
It's the same reason why people think they don't like the word Miller Roots.
That's right.
That's what happened then. People need to get past whatever it's being called today and tomorrow, and understand that it's going to save our community. It doesn't matter what we call it.
There are people that certainly think that we're going to do this, and then suddenly they're going to end up having to be in part of it. They don't. They're already there. They're not doing a development. I mean, this is the thing. If you ever have anybody tell you that's a problem, tell them this. You're already there. You don't have to join.
They're kind of, a lot of people are confused about it and say, if I sell my house and move down wherever to Sonora, the people that buy it, will they be into that
community? No,
it's the property, not, it's just
development.
New development.
The stuff is already
new
there.
New development.
Yeah. It'll be, there's a boundary of the entity, the Belarus or the CFD, Community Facilities District. Then there are properties in that. And it's only those that vote. So, for example, somebody might say, I want to rezone my property from residential to commercial and put in a brewery and a restaurant and a this and that and a retail store. They would be required to annex them as a condition of approval of that project into that. So now you into that existing big boundary that has nothing in it. So anyway, let me just leave it with the county has moved that to the point. Did they ever adopt their goals and policies or just discuss them? Okay, so they adopted their goals and policies. We did that.
Yeah.
The only thing remaining, and they decided on the methodology, right? And
it
was origin, the amount of levy per unit. So they had that financial piece approved. All they had to do was schedule a public hearing. That's all that's left. Schedule a public hearing and to you know, have a protest period and to have that move forward. I don't, any of you haven't had a chance to say anything.
Oh, I've got a lot to say.
Let's say it.
I'll try to keep it concise. So automatically, you're right, is on dispatch. So it's automatic, so there's not a delay. So we've already got plans built countywide, statewide, automatic aid happens, so there's no delay. Mutual aid is, we get out to Terrapee or someplace up the hill, we need more than came up with the automatic aid or on the initial dispatch. Say we need help from Yosemite, that's a special request. Mutual aid, it's you don't even have to have a written agreement to have mutual aid. They, dispatches talk, they determine if they can respond. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. Automatic aid is, we're going to do this. Mutual aid is an agreement that says we'll respond if we're available. Sonora has that same, I mean, we all have it in this county. We have the ability to say outside of our jurisdiction, or whether we don't have the resources available, whatever it is, we can't make it for that call. The likelihood of county fire, which is a big, obviously, you know, it's a big fire department, is not going to do that. It's always what's best for the community, and that's where the stance is. We're not going to undermine that. We're going to respond, just like it's our family or anybody else or your family. There's a little bit. I won't call it chaos at the county level. So again, for those that don't know or anybody online, I have two bosses, right? The county and GCSD. And my other boss, but and my boss at home. So
boss
thank
you.
So I have, after our discussion, I think it was last week, I've urged the interim county administration on some of the topics we talked about getting together. Like you described, let's plan that. It's very frustrating for me. in both positions is that, and I've said this before, we could easily argue that the folks 30 years before us have failed to prepare us for today. Let's not fail those folks 30 years from now. So we're going to do what we can to fix that. And one of the ways that we can fix that is that development pays its fair share. It's not, I think it's not politically favorable. It seems that the County Board of Supervisors right now to proceed with that. I think they're going to take some education, which I sent that to them last night,
good,
what I sent you. And so that discussion will hopefully continue. And that was, it was a, feel free to forward to the board if you like, the need for development fees. So the county did a study 5 years ago on impact fees, sat on the shelf. The only thing that county fire gets for new development is residential, we get about $200 for every new home. Commercial doesn't pay anything extra. They have to pay to have their sprinkler systems inspected and their hydrant plans and us to come out and flow water, that sort of thing. But as far as the impacts of that development on fire services, commercial doesn't pay anything. So we've been pushing for impact fees, that's been the show. Community Facilities District, again, it's one of those things, we beat that horse, I think, both today and previously. It's a need. It seems to be stalled, like I said. The talk about auto aid benefits. So again, a reminder, I mentioned this before, auto aid. So it's not just we're going to respond regardless of what you say. That's not what we're saying. There's some benefits that each fire department and county gets from the auto aid agreement. And the relationship with county fire as well is dispatching. We don't take the dispatching. Normally, Schedule A agreements pay a portion of dispatch. We don't because the county already pays for everybody else. We kind of feel like that's part of the cooperative fire agreement. The fire inspections, the fire investigations, we do only, the county does only for PCSD. Columbia and Jamestown are part of county fire network. Outside of county fire, the county does the fire inspections, the required fire inspections by the fire code, the California fire code. We could probably do that in-house, but we've got to send people to get trained. We've got to do all this other stuff. So there's some benefit there. The fire investigative unit is available to all resources in the county. Again, part of that relationship, the water. Again, no other department in the county, well, let me rephrase that. Every other fire department in the county besides county fire only has one engine, maybe two or three people. A strong county fire is important for all of the fire departments. So we can't be an island. We can't close our borders and say we're not going to respond because we need help too. You know, one fire, two fires. We do have priority in life, property, environment. Right? So one of the things that we've worked out the last few years is a move of the cover plant. So if the engine, before we put the county engine up here, it's still in place. But if the growing, if the engines up here are busy up the hill, wherever they're at, could be in district. We have a move up and cover plan to move one of the engines from the valley up here. There's a lot, and we can talk a long time about it. I'm happy to do it outside of a board meeting as well, but we do divert on life safety. Like from the vegetation, I mean, you get a house fire, you might have people in there. So one of the two engines would get diverted. I think the county is operating as far as the development when they say this, you know, gets a stamp of approval. It's that it falls within their codes and their the way they work. We need to evaluate how that process is. When it goes to planning commission, oftentimes a CEPA document has all these things like, well, there's a fire engine there, there's agreements in place. That's a CEPA document. And, you know, we're told frequently that, and I, every time I get a development across my desk as a county, because it has to go to the Prevention Bureau because they have to do all their inspections, I get copies of it. So there's lots of development planned in this county. We have to mitigate this. But it's not just, and this came up again with the yoga project. It's not that resort or that facility is going to have a lot of calls. It likely won't. But when you add that on to Terra the under canvas and another potential project on spray and phase two of Firepaw, and I'm not sure where Yonder Yosemite is, but then you have other projects, gas station down in the valley, Quick Marts, Kidney Dallas, this Taco Bell, Wendy's, all of these things. There's at least three multifamily, multi-unit apartment complexes in some phase of planning in the county with like 60 additional apartments in each one. I mean, these, you can't, the hard thing for us is to say, okay, open your eyes, planning commission. We need to look at the cumulative impact. And that was the basis of the document that we put together.
Look at it. They don't.
And it's tough. It's really tough for them because they're following the rules.
I don't know.
But they're
I,
only applying it to the one project. So
I don't, with this letter, it seems like they're not following.
That was a good letter. That was a great letter.
You know, I'm, you know,
it is up to, it would be up to a court to determine. That's what I was saying.
Right.
It would be up to a court to determine because the county is of the opinion that the only thing that needs to be looked at under CEQA, when it comes to emergency services, fire, is the construction of a new facility. The thing that's missing from that equation is the planning that would say that you're going to build a new fire station. The county would have had to have said, yes, we know we're going to need a station there. Yes, we're going to have a CFD that funds it, that from all these entities, and we're going to do an EIR or a mitigated neg deck on that station and have it on file so that they can reference it every time they approve a project. They could say a mitigated negative declaration was adopted for the construction of a fire station in this location. And that will be staffed once the so much of the development occurs or some statement in there. That's all it's missing.
It floors me because I mean here's these guys are this board is sitting up there and they're looking at things and they're saying, well, we don't have any money. Well, where do you think the money's going to come from? It's just not going to drop down from the sky. You're going to have to create it. And these people don't understand that. And that's what irritates the hell out of me because I've been aware of this since early 90s when the fire department I was involved with, we were telling people when they came in that you're going to have to pay extra because it doesn't cover the fire. In the 90s. I mean, my God.
Well, that's when the Melrose was. Came.
Well, it was before that. Yeah. But
it makes it better if you make it sound like Nate Bargatze back in the 1900s.
Yeah.
He jokes that he's old. He was born back in the 1900s. He's like 45.
Yeah.
but it makes it sound like it's been around forever.
Yeah.
It would be great. I would love to see every project that was approved by planning department that involved a situation like this has to go to LAFCO first for approval also.
How come they can't?
How come it's not going through LAFCO?
LAFCO can't go out and look for things. Is that correct, Pete?
LAFCO doesn't have any land use authority.
Doesn't have what authority?
Doesn't have land use authority.
What? I can't hear you.
Land use.
Land use authority.
Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Oh. They don't have land use authority, so they can't. They can make a recommendation to the county that they need to do an overall planning study, and that is something that I will definitely be bringing to the LAFCO Commission for them to consider once they get their feet on the ground. They're becoming independent now, and they've got some other things going on, but that'll be something that. Would really be a big help, I think, as for LAFCO to hear it, to understand this issue, to see the maps, to understand what went on. That should have been a regional regional emergency services or service study, sub-master plan of the 120 corridor, whatever you want to call it. It should have been done a long time ago, and that should have been run through the LAFCO process for at least a blessing, so that as municipal service reviews were done in the future, that they could document, they could, you know, chip away at that, they could make sure that there was compliance with it. So hard to fix it, Max.
There's another. Oh, I'm sorry.
When you were talking about like the taxes, okay, like, you know, we pay our property tax on each one of us on our house, and then that certain percentage goes toward fire. But then you're saying like commercial, okay, so what or is it? Do you know what the rate is, like, say, what we pay as a house versus commercial? Because commercial pays nothing, that applies toward fire.
That's for impact fees, basically. It's not your property taxes. It's when Safeway wants to go to a store and Chinese can't. We go out, we do their inspection, we test their sprinklers, make sure they have fire hydrant, all this stuff that we have to do based on the fire code. And they pay for that. But as far as the impacts, let's call it Geiger fee, growth of government, that commercial development pays, they don't pay any extra. When you build a house, you pay a new house, Geiger fee. And that's only one time. So it's not property taxes. I don't know what the rate for property taxes is.
See,
I know we get about, county fire gets about maybe 3.5, maybe a little more million in property taxes strictly. And our budget's $11 million. So
commercial pays the same in 1%.
One and a quarter. Yes.
Yeah.
The thing that gets me is, okay, you've got these big businesses like Kohl's. When Kohl's went in to the Junction Shopping Center, that's in the county. If they had done their due diligence, that would have been a big chunk of money towards fire and law enforcement, roads, and stuff like that. I mean, you got multi-billion dollar companies coming into corporations, coming into this county, and they're getting a free ride on the backs of the people that live.
Maybe that's why they're coming in. They probably wouldn't come in without that.
Right. But that was already built. Kohl's was JCPenney's.
Well, I know, but
you mean new development, yeah, like Lowe's.
Well, when that shopping center was built, there should have been a CFD.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of our problem is a lot of stuff that should have happened, so we confront the fact that.
Right.
I'd like to know why.
Look at incremental improvements.
I'd like to know why the county is always named as the only responder.
To what?
Well, like the thing, well, the new one, the tiny house, GCSD should have been, not because it's within our boundaries, but because of the location. Because there is no, you can't put county on there if there is no county fire department there.
Wow. Well, yeah.
And then
because it's a county service station.
Engine
there. Yeah.
And then the supervisors or the planning department goes, oh, well, it's in the county, so the county will take care of it. Have they ever, like you said, they're getting maps, so they're going to be getting maps, maybe, so they can make better decisions on what they're approving?
We give them the maps.
Put them all in a bus.
I think, and that's where the previous county administrator was adamant about keeping this leading, the county engineer here. And because of the largely the conversation, I don't say pressure, the conversation that Pete and the DCSD has said, we can't keep doing this. And as your assistant fire chief, we joined that. We said that too. And that's how we got Amador's, which, you know, working with the and made the heat. And then now the county put an engine up here.
Still not enough.
We have, well, what's enough?
Well,
so I mean, you get two engines, you get another fire chief. I mean, there's a whole plan about what we have to do. But we also have to realize where we're at.
Okay, when I worked for Contra Costa Fire, we had a standard.
Sure.
And if somebody wanted to come in and build a subdivision, they've got to meet that standard.
Yep.
The same thing should be up here. There should be a standard of what is acceptable for Cal Fire to have a contract with here.
It should be a standard, and that standard should be kept throughout the county. That means if they put Firefall in, they put Rush Creek in, they expanded, you know, Evergreen and all that. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of stuff up there. And that has a lot of potential. And one of the things I've always argued with is, do they really have enough water to actually fight a good fire, a big fire within those facilities? And there should be a standard.
There's a
response time, the whole nine yards.
There's a standard fire flow, you know, for commercial development.
Right.
When they're built, they have to be able to flow X amount of water for 2 hours, I think it is, without us showing up. And that's why, what was the place? The place on O'Burns has like 2 600,000 gallon tanks or whatever they are, because they have to be able to do that fire flow for so long. Most commercial fires with sprinklers are contained with 3 sprinklers or less. That's been pretty standard for a long time now. But it's the what ifs, right? We have to be prepared for that. We're the insurance company. We're the insurance company that won't cancel you, right?
But there should have been a standard when Rush Creek was built. There should have been a standard that you have to be able to safely ladder the buildings. That's putting our firefighters at risk, because you have to be able to have 2 places on the building where you are, when it's on fire, you've got to be able to ladder it 2 places so that if this one's being burned over, they can get down the other one. And you can't do that at Rush Creek. And so that meant that there should have been a ladder truck up here to respond to that fire. And, you know, I mean, that's, it's pretty simple.
I think it was a mix back then, the same with the Junction Shopping Center. It was a mix of the people in the making decisions of receiving that TOT or the sales tax and what that was going to do, and then not wanting to impact potential development. I think you see that there's been a proposal to expand on the other side of the junction along the road. There are going to be multiple hotels, there are going to be shopping center, all this stuff. But they were told a long time ago by whoever was the fire department, we got to have a ladder truck. Right, we can't. So it's been one of the reasons I'm told it's remained dormant is because they don't want to spend $1 million. Now it's closer to $2 million for a ladder truck. And that's the whole purpose of a CFP or impact fee. It's not just one place is paying for it.
Right. It's just, I don't know. For me, it's pretty plain and simple.
It's plain and simple. It's going to take a catastrophe. Before they catch on to the fact that it's so far behind.
Yeah. Because, I mean, every time they allow another resort to come in here, it just puts us that much further.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they don't approve a CFP, it puts us that much further behind.
And then they say, well, look at how many we put in already. Never needed the IFSTA.
Yeah. Well, they needed it because IFSTA is 4 people on an engine now, right, Chief?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we're 2 people on an engine. And where is the county going to come up with money when Cal Fire goes to 3-0 staffing and when they go to a 56-hour work week instead of a 72? That's all coming down the pipe. And the county they're blind to it.
We've had the discussions with them. And that's where I think this may be off topic, but we're positioned for the 56 now, just like Groveland is.
Yes.
Because we added that 6th position. It's not filled, but it's there. Not unlike TCSD or the fire department, there's not enough revenue, right?
Yeah.
To take us into the future. It's the same accounting.
Right.
Right. I mentioned before when I retired the first time. I've never seen
a group what drew of, you back.
I've never seen a group of dedicated individuals work do so much with so little, and it's true. It's not unlike the fire department. There's not a lot. They're gonna cut, and we're all gonna feel it. The county's gonna cut. They're not cutting public safety right now, but we're gonna feel it because if there's not enough people in HR, if there's not enough people in county council, if there's not enough people in IT, right, it's gonna impact all of everything that we. Anytime the county, the district interacts with the county, that's gonna slow down even more. But there's going to be fewer people there, and same with us as a county fire department. If there's less people in those positions, it's going to slow things down. It's going to do that. We'll see how that turns out.
But it just keeps getting deeper and deeper of a hole they're digging.
And they need,
and then
there's just like simple, just needs more revenue.
But yeah,
and
then the county as a whole just keeps denying and denying and denying and denying. If the word tax is on a ballot, it's just
well,
it's nothing.
See,
it's a no, it's a no, no matter what.
In a way, I kind of think that tax might have passed if they had earmarked it for fire department, law enforcement.
Right.
It was going to go in the general fund.
You can't do that with the sales tax. You just can't. I mean, yes, it probably would have, but you can't.
But there was a fire tax also, not just the sales tax. There was a fire tax asking to.
People might have voted for it for them.
Because it was going to save everything else, possibly.
I don't know. When I sit there working on election after election after election and hearing every election, multiple people, it's like, oh, well, this won't take long because then it's got the word tax in it. No. I mean, it's just, and they're like proud of it.
If they had tried that, if they had done that, somebody would have pointed out that it was illegal and it would have been a whole thing. I mean, they just couldn't. You can't do that with a sales tax. I mean,
I'm talking special tax.
The fire tax was unfortunately badly drafted.
Yes.
I mean, I think that could have passed.
Put a sunset clause in there and it'll pass.
It organized it.
I'm hoping that it can keep passing.
How does that happen?
Yeah.
You did it before.
But if it ends, you're just going to get worse later on.
We have to
have something in the middle. You know, you only do
sad subject to that.
This is a horrible subject. It makes me.
Physical therapy appointment at 1 o'clock.
You do?
Sorry, yeah.
Okay, it is 12:35. We lost internet for a few minutes there, so I will reread the last agenda item just in case it was missed. Agenda item 6C, adoption of a resolution approving a revised and updated district organizational chart to reflect the addition of an executive assistant position.
Well, this is there's quite a bit of narrative in here in the staff report, and if we had a chance to take a look at that. So I don't have to read it here today, but we basically have
page 67, by the way.
Thank you. We have a person who has by default stepped into that role. By default meaning there's been so much to do. And there's been, it's been impossible for me to keep up with everything that there is to do when we have so many projects and we have so many different compliance requirements and so many different documents flying around and reimbursement requests and things. You know, those are just added
work related directly to the project, be compliance with contracts, and compliance with, you know, things that it's that it's my responsibility to make sure that we meet all of those requirements in the event that we're ever audited. And that takes a huge effort by Michelle to not only get oriented with the program, you know, of where we've been, and then get on top of it. And we've had someone that I think I don't even need to mention the name that has been running in every single direction for quite some time. It's not always been something that's been directed. Hey, I need this to happen. It happens because the person is competent and energetic and enthusiastic and gets it and just knows what needs to be done next and prepares for it. It keeps me on schedule. I can't go on. I could.
We got to get Janice out of here.
But we got to get Janice out of here.
I move to adopt resolution 06-2025.
Let me just finish just by saying this is not a one-time a performance related promotion. The position does not exist. The responsibilities definitely exist. Somebody's been performing them without compensation for that position, and that position, if that person were to ever go, would still exist at that level, the need for that position. And so that's the recommendation.
So I will actually make another, I will make a comment before even proceeding. So I'm on the board of SDRMA. SDRMA is a entity that has they got probably 50% more people than we do. It's all office people. We don't have anybody with dementias for the most part. And that position exists there. And it was put in several years ago for the exact same reasons you were describing, that even in an office full of administrative specialist kinds of people, you still need somebody to be the board secretary and somebody to take care of the the details that the general manager would in our case, the CEO, would otherwise have to do his or herself, which doesn't work well because it's a bad use of time. So, can I make the motion now?
Yes.
I move to adopt resolution 06-2025, approving a revised, updated organizational chart to reflect the addition of an executive assistant. Is that / board secretary?
It is.
Position.
We'll second it.
We're going to second it together.
Yes.
We'll make that work.
Okay, so the motion has been made by Director Swan, seconded by Director Armstrong. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. And that's
I definitely want to in the submittal in establishing the position in the second bullet item, it's really important to understand because in order for us to have coverage daily on Fridays when we're rotating for backup for illnesses, for surgery, for vacations, for
babies,
for anything else, and to be able to not place an extreme burden on someone returning from a 10-day vacation, or what, I don't mean to be 10 vacation, but you know, and for career path development and everything else, we recognize that with Rachel being actually documented in this position, it's not going to change what we do today, but we're lacking. We're lacking in some HR areas. We're lacking in some records management capabilities. Just people, not skills. Just people. Some of the nitty gritty that we know there are gaps on. We just have to figure out how we're going to do it. Whether it's clerical, and it can be directed by the administrative services manager and or executive assistant, or whether it's going to be some other mid position. Don't know that yet. We haven't worked out the details, but I can't leave this conversation without saying that I know that Jenna's going to need some solid support on her return, mm-hmm. because we've got a lot. We're in the middle of five different financial studies, you know, and so Michelle's going to need some break and some help, and Jen's definitely going to need.
Is this retroactive?
No, I think it goes in.
With the on March 7th.
Yeah. So on the next item with the salaries and adjustments and stuff, it's noted that it will go March 7th.
Okay.
She's in the middle of a talking personnel.
I'm filling in right now as the interim administrative services manager. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm being compensated for this moment.
Okay.
And by the way, thank you very much for all of your support.
You're welcome.
And the recognition is absolutely appreciated.
It's been an intense week and an intense
year. Quarter and then the year.
Thank you.
And she does it all with a smile on her face.
All so, when she's tired.
Yeah.
And reading. And reading. Even better than that. Okay. Item B.
So, I thought we were on that talking about that since we finished the other one.
Okay, so page 73.
Item D, 73. Yep. Adoption of a resolution amending the district's salary schedule as recommended in the total compensation analysis report prepared by Bryce Consulting Incorporated, with salary adjustments effective for the pay period beginning March 7, 2025.
Okay, I'll make a motion to adopt resolution 70. No.
But you can't because we do discussion after a motion.
Yeah. Yes. I'll make a motion to adopt a resolution 07-2025 amending the district's salary schedule as recommended in the total compensation analysis report prepared by Bryce Consulting Incorporated, with salary adjustments effective for the pay period beginning March 7th, 2025.
I'll second. Michelle did a flipping fantastic job. In among everything else, you know, that's been going on and getting up to speed on the CDBG stuff and getting the first reimbursement request there and the ATB, Caltrans, and all those relationships, all those people. And getting this, making sure this was accurate as we, you know, took those numbers and revised the schedule. It applies to the whole district. And understanding what that cost is really important. And having it be accurate and everything else is of most importance. And she did a great job.
As always, also. All righty, any other discussion? Okay. Motion is made by Director Kwiatkowski, seconded by Director Armstrong. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay.
One thing that I thought about after that went on the agenda is, it should be a no-brainer, but it's it affects the pay, the compensation or benefits or working hours of the employees, so it would need to be accepted by the union,
yes,
or by some type of a side letter or something. Both the study and the and this action. It just popped into my head.
We talked about it before while we were working.
Mm-hmm. And so we can just get to meet with them if we need to. I really look forward to rolling this out. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really significantly affect the field employees because we did a good job of walking our way through the heavy inflation and everything else. It definitely, you know, it affects this guy who I don't think has had 8 hours off in 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days. Well,
I
mean,
the last 3 months.
Yeah. Did you enjoy the consecutive
job?
That'll hold you
over
till
August.
We will adjourn at 12:46.